Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today on this very nice day. It's a very nice day for a picnic. We're having our picnic today, but we're inside at McFadden Hall. So you can all sit cool and relaxed over there. So please come on over. If you didn't bring food, that's fine. There'll be plenty of food. You never go hungry at a Presbyterian church, especially this church. So we look forward to seeing you all there. The other important announcement I have today is that, you know, we've been following a process to find somebody to be a new pastor for us. And the process we've been following is trying to have someone who's a covenant pastor, which is a little different call than having a pastor that you have to go through the whole pastoral search process and everything like that. Since last year, we've had an ad up in the Presbytery's site. We've never gotten a nibble for a covenant pastor. But in the meantime, we've been pursuing a parallel path of waiting for Christian to get through all these important milestones, like graduating from seminary, getting approved by her Santa Fe Presbytery to be ready to call, getting the local presbytery to approve her through the two different committees that she has to meet, which she's done. And she's at the point, there's only one more real important milestone, and that is meeting the presbytery on the 23rd of September to be officially okayed to be a pastor, if you will. So I can say at this point, we're on the path to have Christian be our new minister, and we're all excited about that. We'll have Christian come up in a minute. We're in the process of doing all the contractual things you need to do for that. The other important date that's coming up there, you know, 23rd is the date that she meets with Presbytery, and we're looking at a date of the 23rd of October for ordination and installation too. I don't know if it's ordination, installation, or not. It's a covenant pastor, correct. Okay. Anyway, the important thing is after that, she will be a pastor, and she can do communion, she can be our moderator, do all the things that a pastor does. So we're all super excited about that. So with that, I'll give a couple words for minutes, a couple minutes for Kristen to say a few things.
It's been a long, long journey. I know it's been long for you. It's been really long for me. And I am absolutely overwhelmed with the love and support that you all have given me. And I pray that I can offer you the same love and support going forward. I'm a little at a loss for words, and I shouldn't be, because I've known that this was happening, and I think a lot of you knew that it was going to happen too. I'm really excited. I'm honored to be your pastor, and I just can't wait for all the fun things. So thank you all.
I'm not used to Presbyterians getting so excited. But that's wonderful, and I add my congratulations to the candidate and to the church, with thanksgiving for all the hard work. It's a long process, and it takes many hands and hearts, doesn't it? And many late nights of writing papers and studying and all that that goes into preparing someone to lead God's people. It is done decently and in order in the Presbyterian Church, but not quickly, but thoroughly, and that's to be given thanks for. So anyway, looking forward to sharing the picnic with you. My wife made a homemade blueberry crumb cake, and I have to look at it all afternoon yesterday. And couldn't I just have one little piece? No. So today, I hope there'll be some left. So we look forward to sharing that with you as well. And so we've gathered on this beautiful Lord's Day, this 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, August 28th, as this brings us to the last Sunday of August and the last sermon on the Beatitudes. Some separate the 8th and 9th Beatitude or whatever. I've put them together, the persecution idea in both of those seems to me to warrant one Beatitude rather than two for this last couplet of blessings for us. So let us join together in praise and worship as we call one another now to the worship of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the downtrodden and despairing.
They will rejoice in God's reigns forever.
Blessed are those who mourn, who are grieving. Blessed are the ones who seek justice and righteousness.
They will find it in God's reigns forever.
Blessed are we when we love our neighbors. With joy and thanksgiving, we rise if able and join voices and hearts in song. One voice and hearts together, we pray our prayers of confession. We confess that we have not always lived up to the example set by your Son, Jesus Christ. In your mercy, hear our prayer of confession. We confess that we habitually act out of our own self-interest, putting our needs and desires ahead of the needs of others, hoarding our resources rather than sharing them freely. Forgive us Teach us to live with generosity and compassion so that we may seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and walk joyfully in the way of your blessing. Now hear this good news. Our God is a God of grace, mercy, and love. Know now that our sins have been forgiven. May we be strengthened in all goodness since we have been raised with Christ. Let us seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Together we confess the faith of the church, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Share your greetings with one another. We join together once again in song and celebration. We join together in prayer, being reminded of our call and summons by God to pray for one another. I didn't have any requests today, but we had a number last week, and I'd just like to keep us in mind of Butch and Sammy and Tammy, Sandy Letterby, and Tweety. Those were on our prayer list last week, and I'm sure today and beyond, as well as others that we love and care about. Let us join together in prayer. Awesome, majestic Lord God, your creative power, your glory and holiness, which was experienced by your people of old, is with and around us and within us today. How blessed we are, for you have revealed your face and your voice, your compassion and goodness to us in the human face and voice of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today we gather praying for one another, for those who've been listed among us, named among us, who seek your blessing and healing and guidance, and for others on our hearts, in our minds, in our families, our neighbors, others, who need your special strength and blessing and healing this day, this moment. We give you thanks that you equip each of us here for a journey through life and beyond, that you breathe into us new life, everlasting life, into our very beings. And so we praise you, O God, for making our lives so rich, so special. Call us then once again into life. We know that what you have in store for us may not be easy, that there are challenges today and tomorrow and every day ahead of us. Help us to cling and abide to your promise that you will be with us every moment in every breath we take. Grant us then patience, endurance, to journey with you. And when we stumble and fail, may we claim again your love and grace and peace to begin again as people of resurrection faith. We give you our prayers this day for ourselves, for our friends and loved ones, and for the whole world for which Christ died. And these prayers we bring in the name of Christ, who taught us in prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, we rise of Abel and sing our song of praise. Let us worship God in the bringing of our gifts. Fearfully and wonderfully made, and at the center of our hearts, the desire to give, to share, and to love as Christ has loved us. And to this end, we bring and dedicate our gifts this day. Amen.
Okay, this morning our scripture reading is Hebrews 5, 7 to 10. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his fervent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is a reading of the word.
Now to the last of the Beatitudes, these blessings that Jesus gives. There are some who say that one of the great needs of the church today is to return to the Sermon on the Mount. For we live in a time in which Sunday school classrooms are empty. Churches are closing. And there are multitudes who are untouched and not claimed by Christ in our world, in our country, in our community today. And so maybe now more than ever we need to return to the basics, to be refreshed and renewed and reclaimed by the very basics of what it means to be in Christ. And so voices are calling us to recover and renew our study and preaching of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And the introduction to that are the Beatitudes. And that's one of the reasons that I have chosen to preach through them with you in these weeks of summer. Let us pray. Oh God, let us hear your scriptures proclaimed and your word revealed. Enable our hearts and minds to more fully understand your goodness and grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Jesus, in chapter 5, now when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Wow, what words. Blessed when people insult you, persecute you falsely. Say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice. Be glad. Well, it's a good thing that Jesus said these words. If anyone else had said them, I, for one, would be willing to give it a pass. But these are the words of Jesus. It goes against logic, doesn't it? It's contrary to reason. Our natural response when people hate us is what? What's the natural response? To hate them back. When people insult us, what's the natural response? To insult them back, at least in our mind, if not in actual word or expression. The famous German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, 19th century, hated Christianity. He thought that it made people weak, and he hated weakness. What he didn't understand was this is our call to courage and to strength, this last beatitude. Nietzsche thought that his strength had to come out of himself. He wrote about the Superman. Unfortunately, 50 years later, the Nazis picked this up, this idea of the Superman, and they make a racial superiority thing and with it. The Nazis loved Nietzsche. The Superman, the overman, the person who's able to be strong and to take on life with all of its challenges, never flinching. That's what Nietzsche wanted. What he didn't understand was that our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in our faithful God and in the demonstration and gift of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. That is our strength. Notice that this beatitude does not say if. There's no if about it. When. It's inevitable, and it will happen to all of us. Whenever we bring forth in our lives the peace and love of Christ, in whatever situation we are in, whenever the peace and love of Christ is in us and given expression, the Antichrist will appear. The resistance will appear. Now, it may not be at that very moment. It may be the next day. It may be the next week. But the face of the Antichrist will come in its good time. So that whenever Christ in us is given expression, there will be resistance, there will be opposition, the Antichrist will be present. Now, if you want a life or a faith of success, if you want a life or a faith in which it's all blue skies up above and clear sailing and calm waters, if that's the kind of life, faith that you want, you better go find it someplace else. You won't find it here in the Christian faith. At the very center of our faith is a cross. That's the key symbol. It's the story of suffering love to the point of crucifixion and death. It's sacrificial love, redemptive love. That's what we are called to. There are many people today who are not here, not here in the churches. They're on the beach, walking in the woods, sitting at home. God bless them. They want a spirituality, but they don't want organized religion. They don't want a cross. They want to be spiritual, but they don't want to be religious. And most of all, they don't want you. They don't want you. And when I say you, I mean a big you. I'm not picking on you. I am picking on you, but I'm not picking on you. Just you. I mean the you, the church down the road, and I mean the church on the other side of town. We all are hypocrites. We're not very much of a model what it means to be a faithful Christian. I'm not. I don't think you are either. I'm making an assumption here, right? You know you're not. You gossip. You lie. You hurt people. You are disagreeable. And you are pathetic. You're a pathetic congregation of failures. And you're not worthy of my time. So I want to be spiritual. And organized religion doesn't have any place in my enlightenment. And the last thing I need is people like you. But God has a different plan. And the first thing that God does is God gives us each other. Just as we are. Warts and all. God gives us each other to love and forgive and serve with all of our warts and problems and hang-ups and all of our meanness and our greed and our anger. God gives us each other. And God gives us the cross as the defining sign of faithful life. I love that picture of Jesus that was read this morning from the book of Hebrews. I hope maybe you caught something of that picture. The writer of Hebrews says that he, Jesus, in his earthly life, now get this picture, put this picture clearly in your mind, offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. The perfect, sinless one. The one who was faithful at every moment of his life. The Son of Man who became the model, the prototype of this is what it means to be a human being. This one, with loud cries and tears, petitions and prayers. Now that is an authentic spirituality. And then it says, probably one of the most audacious things in all of the Bible, that this spotless, sinless, that this one who was in absolute perfect harmony with the Creator of life, the Son of God, the third person of the Trinity, learned from all he suffered. And if the Son of God needed to struggle in order to learn perfect obedience, how much more do I need to? The persecution, the pain, the hardships, not if, when. And we have a choice when this happens to us, when we suffer hardship, when we are insulted, when we face the difficult moments, the losses in our lives. We can allow those things to make us angry and mean, make us hard. Or we can cut ourselves off from other people. We can have an isolated spirituality, cut off from other people. Or we can allow our hurts, our pain, our tears, our petitions and prayers, like Jesus, our cries, our tears in the night, to connect us more intimately with the hurts and pains and needs of the world, and more intimately with the Jesus who had prayer and petition and loud cries and tears. Nietzsche didn't get it, but you get it. You get it, don't you? In God's hands, our prayers and petitions, our cries in the night will become praise. They will become praise. Our laments will be transformed. That's God's promise. It's so wonderfully held in a hymn that I discovered just recently, in the refrain that says, Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Isn't that a wonderful song to sing? Will you take that into your hearts? Earth has no sorrow. All of the laments will turn to praise. And that's why Jesus says at the end of this beatitude and all of the beatitudes, rejoice, you're not alone. Be glad. My strength and power is already at work in your life. There's another song, and the first time I heard it wasn't at church. It was listening to Garrison Keillor on a Saturday night. And the words, "What though my joys and comforts die?" And they will, you know. Everything that we have is going to be taken. We will lose. It will be gone. Everything. "What though my joys and comforts die? I know my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round? Songs in the night he giveth. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am his. How can I keep from singing? Blessed, blessed we are." Amen. The word having been proclaimed, I trust and pray among us today. We join by standing if able. Hymn number 765. Beautiful hymn. I've never sung that one before. My granddaughter teaches Spanish. I wish she were here to sing the second verse for us. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the strength and power of the Holy Spirit Comforter be with us now and forevermore. Amen.